Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. This is the broadcast for September the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. Hour one, we talked a ton about happiness. And Wallet Hub put together a study. According to a recent Wallet Hub survey, Utah has been rated as the number two state for the happiest state in the nation. Hawaii's first, Utah's second. And they say one thing that does not drive happiness is money. Happiness only increases when, you know, you're between $75,000 and $95,000 a year in annual income. Below that, it's a struggle. Above that, yeah, you got too many things to worry about and you're not happy. But we also talked about the suicide rate in the United States is at the highest level in 50 years. I don't know if you know, but it is Suicide Prevention Month. And our prayers are with those folks. Trump's passionate about working on homeless problems, etc. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about. And our guest today is Andy Manchin. And Andy Manchin is the vice president of the Association of Mature American Citizens, also known as AMAC.org, AMAC.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thank you for having us, Sam. I just want to start off, our website's AMAC.us, AMAC.us.
I just wow, I don't know how I have that wrong. All right, that's fixed. AMAC.us, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's...
I hate to start off that way, but you know...
No, you know what? You know, there's nothing wrong with getting it right, sir.
Thank you.
All right, AMAC...
Thanks for having me.
AMAC.us. And I bring this happiness study up because I think that Wallet Hub's onto something, but I don't think they're onto the right issues in many cases. I think people need to feel a sense of belonging. I think people need to feel a sense of love, and I think people need an incredible support group. And one of the reasons that I bring this up with you this hour, Andy, is because I believe that AMAC is providing just that, sir.
Well, you know, thank you. That's a nice lead-in. We think that, first of all, AMAC is an acronym for the Association of Mature American Citizens. And we have been around for 12 years now. We are the chief competitor to AARP. We are a member benefits organization that supports faith, family, and freedom. We are right of center. We support conservative values, particularly the Judeo-Christian values upon which this great nation was founded. We hold the U.S. Constitution in the utmost respect and believe that it's the best, one of the best, if not the best, documents ever created by mankind. And we're so grateful to come on shows like yours because we can get the word out about AMAC. One of the things that we do, Sam, we form AMAC chapters across the country, and we get like-minded people, AMAC members, as well as non-AMAC members, people that might be interested in joining us. But we get together for fellowship. We get together with like-minded individuals to talk about issues and other things, you know, on a federal and a local level, that pertain to people's everyday lives. And we think that the success of this program is because people are happy to be with other like-minded people. They know that they're not alone. They know that they're not going to be ridiculed for going to church, for practicing their faith, okay, for having an opinion and sometimes they might be uncomfortable sharing, when there should be a free flow and free and open flow of conversation, particularly with people who disagree with you, and there should be open conversation to have folks convince you why what you're thinking may not be in your best interest. It's, you know, and they, even though you don't agree with them, you know, convince me otherwise. And that's what's missing in this country. And I think human beings by nature don't want to be alone. And being alone does lead to unhappiness. So, one of the things that we're happy and proud about at AMAC is that we do form these chapters across the country. We think that we're injecting an element in our own small way of happiness into people's lives by having them get together with like-minded people to talk about their faith, to talk about their families, you know, to talk about preserving their freedoms, and talk about what a great grand experiment this nation turned out to be and how to keep that perpetuated. and how to advance it and make sure that our children and grandchildren are sharing the same freedoms that we've grown up with.
My co-host is Kirk Crosby, and last hour we were talking about how people need a sense of belonging, people need a sense of a support group, of loved ones, people need to feel these things. And one of the things Kurt mentioned was we got to have FaceTime. And then I joked and said, that's an app, Kurt. And he said he was talking about the FaceTime face-to-face. And that's really what you guys are providing for many needy people. They get a sense of belonging. They get a sense of camaraderie and friendship. And really it builds a support group for many of these people. A lot of them are lonely, right?
Well, you know, that could be an element there. I think a lot of people have been bullied by the media, have been bullied by politicians into keeping their opinions to themselves for fear of being ridiculed. And I'm not just talking a political opinion. I'm talking about the way they live their lives, their ideology, okay? The fact that they want to stand and salute the flag and put their hand on their heart for the national anthem, all of a sudden you can't do that, all right? And I think that discourages people. And I think that makes people sad. And then along comes AMAC. And I'm sitting in Washington, D.C. right now. Okay, we're calling on members of Congress. We're talking to them about AMAC. We're talking to them about the issues that we support. And we're representing our members here in our nation's capital. And I love walking around this place and seeing all the monuments and seeing the flags and seeing the beautiful buildings and being part of this process. But back home, okay, in Utah and in other states across this wonderful nation, people are being bullied into not being able to share their opinion. And that never happened before. And I think that does lead to a certain element of unhappiness. And when people do find out about AMAC and they check us out at amac.us, and they realize that there's an organization of nearly 2 million people just like them in all 50 states, I think that does bring them a certain degree of happiness. And yes, you'll pay $16 to join AMAC. It's not a tremendous amount of money. But what you do is you're joining an organization that believes the way that you believe and is in Washington advocating on those beliefs. And also, by the way, you know, you'll have access to a full roster of member benefits that competes with AERP. So there are member benefits, you know, to joining AMAC. But we think that people join us because they want to belong to an organization that believes in the same things they do, that promotes the same causes, that respects life, that respects faith, that respects family, that wants to see our freedoms expanded as opposed to being contracted, that you know, we're losing freedoms every day. These folks may be a little bit, you know, we don't have a bunch of fearful people that are members of AMAC, Sam. What we have are people that are, there's a high level of concern that maybe for the first time in this country's history that our children and grandchildren may not have the same quality of life that we enjoyed. When I was growing up, the mantra was the next generation always would live better than the previous generation based on all the opportunity that this country affords. And I think for the first time in our history, that opportunity is being threatened.
And I think one of the ways to decrease the threat of that opportunity is to focus less on, you know, buying and spending and getting and things, and simplify our lives a little bit and spend more face time, as Kurt wisely pointed out, more involvement in the things that give you hope and give you courage and give you safety and give you stability. And I think that as AMAC and others focus on those kinds of things, it gives people hope. It gives people a sense of security and a sense of stability and a support group and absolutely ultimately increases happiness. Let's talk about some of the issues that you guys are working on now.
Well, we are we have sponsored legislation that we're particularly interested in. It's called House Resolution 856, and this is the Physician Pro Bono Care Act of 2019.
Now, hold on. Let me just stop you there for a second. This is really, really important. Listen up. House Resolution 856, right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
What the bill basically does, okay, AMAC is part of a coalition of physicians, physician advocates, and patient advocates, and we have a seat at the table for healthcare reform. We speak with many, many physician groups, and we thought, you know, when people talk about reforming healthcare, it's such a multifaceted situation that, I mean, you could look at prescription drugs, you could look at high deductibles, you could look at high copays, you could look at insurance premiums. There's many, many ways to look at healthcare, many, many ways that in areas that need fixing. We thought we would look at poor individuals and poor families, folks that are Medicaid eligible and folks that are CHIP eligible. Now, the process to be reimbursed for a physician on the Medicaid side is cumbersome. The reimbursements are kind of skimpy, but the process to be reimbursed is cumbersome. Now, physicians have always been exposed to treating patients for free. They do pro bono work as residents, I mean, early on in their training, so they're used to doing this. But on more than one occasion, we had physicians tell us, you know, I would rather treat a Medicaid patient in my office for free and not even bill Medicaid if I could get some kind of tax deduction for my professional services. And we thought this was a fantastic idea. So what H.R. 856 does is allow voluntarily physicians, and we define physicians as primary care doctors, emergency room physicians, clinic physicians, and then we expand it to optometrists, dentists, podiatrists, chiropractors, et cetera, give them the option to treat a Medicaid or CHIP eligible patient in their office for free. And I can elaborate on this. I hear some music.
Amen. We'll elaborate on this, ladies and gentlemen. We're calling the Physicians Pro Bono Care Act of 2019. It's called H.R. 856. I want to expand the heck out of this thing. Anyway, let's talk about it. Sam Kurt and Andy Manchin, AMAC.us. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Talking to Andy Manchin, and we're talking about this incredible legislation. The Physician Pro Bono Care Act of 2019 is called H.R. 856 to amend the revenue code, or the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, to provide a deduction for certain charity care by physicians, giving them a tax break if they're willing to work for free instead of charging Medicare, Medicaid for it. Sounds like an incredible win-win, Andy.
Well, we think it is. What we think will happen, we want to give, again, I just want to state that this will in no way affect anybody's Medicaid or CHIP benefit. The patient probably won't even know. They're just going to go see the doctor. This allows physicians to take a simple tax deduction and not bill Medicaid and treat that patient for free in their office. Right now, a doc can get in their car and he or she can drive to the free clinic and then provide pro bono services. They could write off their tax, or I'm sorry, they could write off their gas. They could write off the wear and tear on their car to get there, but they cannot write off their professional services. And let me put in perspective how this could happen. Okay. And just the type
before you get to the perspective involved on how this can happen, though, I want to disagree with you slightly when you say that it won't affect their Medicare at all. It won't negatively affect their Medicare at all. That's a fact. However, it will affect their negative. I mean, it will affect their Medicare in the positive, in that this alone will have a significant effect on the stability of and the integrity of the system and its financial wherewithal. This will be a huge benefit to everyone, including the taxpayers, right?
Absolutely. And I was going to paint that picture, Sam. And this is Medicaid, not Medicare. Okay. So we're talking about Medicaid. So we're talking about very, very poor individuals and families. Right now, a lot, if not most, Medicaid patients go to the emergency room, okay, for primary care.
And let's be clear, it's because they feel like they have nowhere else to go, right?
That's exactly right, okay, which is the most expensive place, okay? So about 20 million Medicaid patients go to the emergency room a year at least one time. And Medicaid pays out $1,016 for that visit, okay? If that patient instead went to see a primary care physician, and we're assuming this is a non-emergent situation, this was a chronic condition, and instead of going to the emergency room for that condition, they went to a primary care doctor who, at an average office visit of $160, was able to take a 32% tax deduction in their office and not charge Medicaid, that bill to the government goes from $1,016 to $50. All right? And so it's going to be a multi-billion dollar savings to the Medicaid expenditures, and that will affect both the states and the federal government. What we also think, and this is to highlight what you just said, Sam, we think that Medicaid patients will be able to form a long-term relationship with a primary care doctor if the physician has the option to treat them for nothing, okay, or go ahead and bill Medicaid. Either way, the access to these physicians will increase. Health outcomes will increase. And when you expand this option of taking a tax deduction to dentists and podiatrists, the overall holistic health care of a Medicaid beneficiary, as well as their families, will increase, and we'll see better outcomes. So we're increasing access and driving down a significant cost in the Medicaid program and getting better health outcomes. This is what H.R. 856 will do.
Now, this relates in a lot of ways. I think the people leading some of this charge, in addition to AMAC.us on the citizens' side, if you will, but I think that the direct primary care people, the DPCs, across the country are driving this effort because they know they can use all kinds of people to help care for these people much, much more cost effective than any other solution out there. They're available all the time. Their overheads are inexpensive, comparatively speaking, to an emergency room or whatever else. And most importantly, when you develop this relationship with the patient, then you catch things and do things that familiarity and that long-term relationship won't catch or deal with. And that way you can catch things earlier and deal with them ahead of time instead of in crisis mode. I mean, it is the answer on so many fronts. It's shocking.
Well, it's a good first start in terms of reforming healthcare. You know, we're looking at many billions of dollars in savings to drive down, you know, an expense that continually rises. For taxpayers and for federal budgets and state budgets, but the health outcomes, wow, you cannot put a price tag on that. And you're absolutely right. We've got our primary care physicians, including direct primary care doctors, that are on the forefront and the gatekeepers for primary care. If we can direct more Medicaid patients and break that habit that they have of going to the emergency room for primary care, and go to see a PCP, a primary care physician, for a chronic condition regularly, because that physician has the option. And again, physicians don't have a problem with Medicaid. The cumbersome reimbursement process takes up a lot of their time. I don't know if you knew this, Sam, but a primary care physician spends 40% of their time chasing down payers. We remove that element. That frees up more time for them to see more Medicaid patients. If they want to go ahead and bill Medicaid, they may. But with H.R. 856, they will have the option of taking a simple tax deduction for their professional services and not billing Medicaid at all. So the financial benefits are, the potential there is tremendous, but even more important, the relationship that that Medicaid patient establishes with the primary care physician will lead to better outcomes. Regular visits as opposed to going on an as-needed basis to the emergency room. We think the access will increase, and we think the health outcomes will skyrocket.
What's amazing is the healthcare system is broken, and oftentimes people believe it's just beyond repair broken. There's nothing we can do about it. But what you find is tiny changes have the most incredible results. It's hard to imagine. I mean, this is just a teeny thing saying, hey, if physicians are going to work for free, to be kind, you know what? Let's make sure that they are rewarded for it. Let's simplify the billing. Let's simplify the payment structure. Let's benefit taxpayers. And it's a tiny change on one hand, but the repercussions in a positive way are huge.
I'm glad you characterized it that way. It's just an IRS tax code change, okay? That's all it is. Okay, you know, and all we're doing is that physicians be able to do charity work in their offices as opposed to driving to the free clinic. They can still do that, okay? We want to expand the charity care so a physician can fold these charity care cases into their everyday operation, their everyday routine of seeing patients. And how could access not increase? You know, I mean, so when we talk to people about this, Sam, we're getting a lot of heads nodding. This makes sense. It makes sense. It's a common sense. And this is kind of what AMAC does. This is a free market solution. And that's how we look at the problems that are facing America. We look at them through the lens of free markets as opposed to more government and more government intrusion.
Less regulation instead of more freedom for doctors. I don't know if you know this, but this is suicide. September is Suicide Prevention Month, okay? And I know that a lot of physicians and a lot of people that are at a high level in the healthcare industries are feeling tremendous pressure. This is going to really reduce pressure and increase happiness, too. People feel good when they serve one another. People feel good when they can contribute to society in positive ways. I mean, this is a win on a lot of fronts.
We think so. And I'm thankful that you acknowledge that. You know, the challenge is to articulate this too. And this is a bill that's bipartisan. I mean, this isn't a right side or a left side of the aisle type of deal. This is a population that needs help in terms of a population that's vulnerable, okay? And there's no politics associated with this. You know, we're talking to members of Congress on both sides of the aisle because this bill transcends partisan politics. This is what we we're getting that feedback here in Washington.
So you've got the underpinnings of the bill, you've got the benefits, and you've got the why, and you've got all those things. Where does it stand legislatively now, and what can people do to help?
Right now, we are gathering co-sponsors. We've got about 20 co-sponsors. The bill was reintroduced January of this year to start the new Congress by Daniel Webster down in Florida. What people can do is call their member of Congress and ask them to support H.R. 856. Call and then I tell you, the staff here in Washington, they have software. They've got, you know, I mean, it's very easy to track where this bill is. So right now we've got just about 20, approximately 20 co-sponsors, and we're working on gathering more. That's the work that we're doing here to bring this to a significant amount of co-sponsors, to get it to the floor, to get it voted on, and to have people mark this up. We're working on the Senate too to get it introduced on the Senate side, and there's interest there as well. But right now, your listeners could pick up the phone and call their member of Congress, call their office, and say, hey, would you please support H.R. 856?
Hopefully we can get a Rand Paul or a Mike Lee or somebody on the Senate side to introduce a companion bill. H.R. 856, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Manchin with us. We're talking about AMAC, AMAC.us, to learn more. We're making a difference, folks. I know it happens, one person, one issue at a time. But you know what? That's how we change the world. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Emerald City is impeachment. And my colleagues are desperate to get there. They have been desperate since last November when they won the majority.
That's the ranking Republican on the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, which is now meeting on Capitol Hill to discuss impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Congressman Doug Collins says New York Democrat and chairman of the panel, Jerry Nadler, has called this unnecessary hearing, according to Collins, to keep impeachment in the headlines.
The difference between formal impeachment proceedings and what we're doing today is a world apart, no matter what the chairman just said.
Nadler says the investigation will consider allegations of obstruction of justice, self-dealing, and violations of the Emoluments Clause. The Labor Department says around 204,000 Americans filed first-time jobless claims last week, 15,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. And this is USA Radio News.
Is it possible that an ancient mystery lies behind today's news? The events of the world, world leaders, even Donald Trump, and the events of your life. Could this mystery even reveal the future events that are yet to come? Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and The Book of Mysteries, now brings The Oracle. Prepare to be blown away. The Oracle by Jonathan Cahn. Available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835 with our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC and a four-wheel independent suspension. It's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
Another American retail chain is telling customers don't openly carry firearms in their stores. The Florida-based company Publix has 1,200 stores across the southeastern U.S. This Publix shopper says,
"Well, I think if a person has a permit for that gun and he's been through the classes and so forth, but he should be able to carry that gun anywhere because that's the law."
This follows similar announcements made by Walmart, Kroger, and some other national chains that have made similar requests after several mass shootings. The Supreme Court says the Trump administration can go ahead with rules to stop many people from seeking asylum in the U.S. The administration's new policy requires people requesting asylum to do so in a third country. That would block immigrants from Central and South America from seeking asylum at the southern border of the U.S. The High Court says the administration can enforce the rule while it's being challenged in court. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, we're talking to Andy Manchin, vice president over there at AMAC, AMAC.us. So, in my opinion, incredible opportunity to back H.R. 856, and hopefully we can get a companion bill in the Senate. Anything else to mention on this one, Andy?
I'm sorry, Sam, I missed the last question.
Anything else to mention on this H.R. 856?
Well, we're building momentum, but we could use all the help that we can get. And all politics is local, okay? So when phones, I've had more than one member of Congress say, "You want to get my attention, call me. I know we can. You can send me a bunch of emails, and that's okay. But when my phone rings off the hook, you get my attention." And the staff gets their, and it gets the attention of the staff. So calling and asking them to support H.R. 856, it's not a waste of time by any stretch. It's a very productive phone call. And if I could leave that with your listeners, it would truly help our efforts here in Washington.
All right. They say the road to heck is paved with good intentions. This is no different. Medicare anti-kickback safe harbor statute is an excellent example of good intentions gone awry, says AMAC spokesman. This is an interesting story to kind of follow and understand too, Andy.
Yeah, it's a complicated topic that we try to break down. What we're talking about here is a statute that's been around since the late 80s and was implemented in the early 90s that allows group purchasing organizations and pharmacy benefit managers to receive what they call rebates from manufacturers in order to have that manufacturer's product have access to a group purchasing organization's contracts with thousands and thousands of hospital beds and systems across the country, or access to a pharmacy benefit manager's thousands and thousands of insured lives. So what this is the statute was originally enforced to ensure fair marketing and to limit Medicare, Medicaid fraud and abuse. But what it turned into was, let's take a look at what a group purchasing organization is. They're called GPOs. And for many years, they smaller hospitals would join a buying group called the group purchasing organization, and the GPO would secure prices on supplies, good prices that these people normally couldn't get standing alone. And for many, many years, this model worked and worked very well. The statute was introduced in 1987 and enacted in 1991 that allowed, let me back up there. The hospitals that were participating, in this group purchasing organization, in this buying group, paid an administrative fee for the GPO to negotiate these contracts for them. Then back in the late 80s and enacted in early 1991, the table flipped. The Medicare anti-kickback statute enabled suppliers to pay these fees to group purchasing organizations. And what happened is that a pay-to-play situation emerged. So you've got suppliers in the hospital supply chain, and a supplier could be anything from a pharmaceutical that is used in the hospital to a artificial hip, a knee, a safety pin, a cotton ball, any supply that's used in the hospital. The manufacturer of these supplies can literally buy market share by paying fees to the GPOs to access their contracts with multiple hospital systems across the country. In any other business, Sam, this is called a kickback, and it's not legal, but they're protected by an anti-kickback safe harbor that Congress enacted with the best of intentions back in the late 80s and early 90s. So what we have here are smaller manufacturers of medical devices or medical supplies that if they cannot afford the fee to access the contracts that the GPO holds, they can't compete. And you end up with a lot of single sourcing. You end up with a lot of manufacturers that will not produce something because of the exorbitant fee that they have to pay to gain access to these contracts. It's antithetical to free markets. And these are classic middlemen that are kind of gumming up the process and allowing manufacturers who are playing by the rules, because this is the rule, allowing manufacturers to literally purchase market share. It squeezes out competition. It squeezes out innovation. And it actually, in some cases, drives up costs on the pharmacy. Particularly, let's look at GPOs and because they do buy some pharmaceuticals like IV solutions that are hung, antibiotics, and other solutions that are used in the hospital. Let's say it's a generic drug. You've got a manufacturer, a smaller manufacturer that could probably make it, but chooses not to because they can't afford the fees to access the contracts. So this leads to single sourcing for some solutions like saline, basic, that's just salt water, or insulin. And the list cost of these medications are directly affected by the fees that these manufacturers have to pay to access these contracts. And there are government studies that show that these GPOs are responsible, in some cases, for driving up the cost of healthcare on the supply chain side. It's really a wacky situation that we've taken a look at, and as a matter of fact, we met with a member of Congress to shine a little light on these business practices so people can realize, it's not the sole cause for the high cost of healthcare, but it's definitely a factor. And if we address it, if we get this middleman money out of the healthcare supply chain and the pharmaceutical drug supply chain, you'll see more competition, more innovation. You'll see prices drop because of that. And you'll see free market forces at work that will have a dramatic positive effect on the cost of healthcare.
Amen. And transparency is the issue. AMAC at the center of it, doing a great job, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Association of Mature American Citizens, nicknamed AMAC, AMAC.us, to learn more. Another interesting article that you guys talk about that I wanted to get to this one because it relates to Jason Chapeth. It relates to a former Utah congressman. And the headline says, here are four ways the left is grabbing power in America. And the ruthless left is setting aside constitutional norms in their ruthless power grab. And it talks about four ways this is being done. It relates to Jason Chapeth's book. He's a Fox contributor now and everything else. But I bring this up because these four ways are really important. And this is where I believe most Americans don't really realize what's going on. And this is a way for them to learn what's going on in a non-controversial way, but to highlight it. Right, Andy? This is very important. Kurt, what do you think of this? Four ways that the left is into this massive power grab. Okay, we'll just keep rolling here. I don't know if my internet's out, but I think I've lost both of them.
I'm here.
Sorry. There you go.
I'm sorry about that. I'm muted.
Oh, no problem. Poor Andy's going on thinking he's live and he's muted. So I'm saying that Jason Chapeth created this incredible book and he's highlighting how the left is involved in this massive power grab. And I think it's important that people in a non-controversial way understand what's driving this power grab, right?
That's exactly right. And the fact that we're acknowledging it as a power grab on the Democratic side could be enlightening to some people. Let's think about this. You know, we'll get to these four ways, but there's been a lot of Republicans retiring from Congress, and yet Democrats stick around. And I thought that was interesting. I was speaking to some colleagues here in Washington about why this happens, and we were just talking here, okay? And one of the things we talked about, Sam, was Republicans want to serve, but then they want to get out of Washington and do other things. And Democrats are very, very interested in power, maintaining their power, and they won't leave because they don't want to do anything else. Now, I'm kind of broad-stroking this here, admittedly, okay? But they're not going to leave because of their insatiable quench for power. And these four things, I mean, getting people to realize that power is the motivating factor for any Democratic policy, for any Democrat idea, and for even for the ideology of the left, would be a huge acknowledgement that this is what we're up against in terms of why you should vote and why you should vote, you know, why you should consider and vote for the right as opposed to the left, okay? Because the left is all about power, all about maintaining their power, all about dictating how we should live our lives, why they live a different way, and these four ways of how they obtain power is very, very enlightening. We're talking about trolling at town hall meetings. All right. Now, AMAC, you know, I mean, we do put on some meetings for our members across the country, and we've had people show up at these meetings to do nothing but disrupt. And what that does is discourage members of Congress from meeting with their constituents because they don't want to put up with the bullies that show up.
It also discourages good people that are going there to try to influence with good intentions because they're like, look, I'm not interested in going there just to have a brawl with people about stupid stuff and get off on an argumentative tangent. I don't want that. So it encourages people not to want to go also that have genuine interest and should have appropriate influence.
Exactly.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. AMAC.us, the website. Trolling town halls is one way they abuse us. There's three others that are highlighted in this incredible article at AMAC.us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Andy Manchin with us, AMAC.us. We're talking about the four ways that the left has made a huge power grab in America, trolling at town halls. They're not there to legitimately discuss things and find a path forward to make things better in America. They're there to disrupt. They're there to agitate. They're there to build a consensus against the better interest of America. Oftentimes it's tragic but true, and it makes individuals not want to go because they don't want a big old argument. They don't want to be concerned if there's violence that breaks out or whatever else in these agitations. And the politicians are going, I don't want to meet with people that are just agitating and disrupting. And so it's very, very, very problematic indeed. The second one is weaponizing nonprofits for the Democratic Party. This is serious business, Andy.
Yes, it is. And I just wanted to make a comment about those town hall trollings, okay? What these people do, they are paid to show up, and they're paid to look like the member of Congress's constituents who are angry with him and then blame it on President Trump. And that's not the case. That's the manual and the template for disrupting town hall meetings, is to make it look like that member of Congress has a bunch of angry constituents when he's really dealing with a rent-a-mob. Now, when you talk about weaponizing nonprofits for the Democratic Party, this is what we're talking about here is that these nonprofit groups hire for-profit groups to do fundraising using their name, okay? And what happens is when somebody donates to this nonprofit, that process of donating allows that for-profit group that's doing the fundraising to collect data on voters that can help predict voting behavior. Okay, so the problem is that people who work for these groups can carry the collected voter data when they go to work for campaigns or a political party like the Democratic National Committee, and therefore bypass all of the campaign finance rules. So it's a very effective strategy that they're skirting the law. But they are, they've got people out there. These nonprofits are being represented for for-profits who are collecting data on voters. And then the people that, the people leave these for-profits and take this information with them, to political campaigns or political parties and bypass all of the campaign finance rules. So they're obviously a loophole that has to be closed.
It reminds me a lot of the bundling tactics that go along with raising a bunch of money for elections and not having any transparency or accountability of where money comes from, too. So there's a lot of dollars behind this, and that's primarily why they're doing it. Not only is there dollars, but there's analytics control data that lets them really get a leg up on what's happening, skirting the laws in the process. The third one is nationalize and skew elections. This is a huge one, too, because now we're getting into... I mean, it's one thing to raise money. It's one thing to do it immorally and everything else. It's another thing, though, when you directly skew elections. I mean, it borders on vote fraud, sir.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If you look at, I mean, there's a lot of talk right now going on about the economy, talk about, you know, reforming health care, talk about immigration and keeping our borders secure. You would think that this would occupy the House of Representatives, which is controlled by Democrats, and these would be priorities. However, in actuality, you're looking at, Chaffetz asks the question,
why is it then that that Nancy Pelosi has a resolution that doesn't have anything to do with these top issues? Okay, this her resolution has to do with how to reconfigure elections. Okay, so Pelosi wants to reconstitute how we do elections in the country because this is of utmost importance. If you can manipulate the vote, they can maintain their power. This is a theory that the congressman has, all right? And Nancy Pelosi, this resolution did pass the House, but was never brought up in the Senate, and that's understandable because the Republicans run the Senate. But had it passed the Senate, this would have made a number of changes to our election system, and among them are mandatory voter registration, which is a mandate that states allow felons to vote, and a ban on states setting their own rules about voting by mail. So again, it's very manipulative, and these folks are playing long term. They're planning long term. They have long term strategies to maintain their power, and they're going to do it through the very process that puts people in office by manipulating voter laws.
On the face, the public face of this a lot is they say they want to get rid of the Electoral College. But there's a lot of other behind-the-scenes tinkering that's going on. Again, little teeny changes with massive negative impact are underfoot through nationalizing and skewing the elections, through weaponizing nonprofits to raise money and bundle and make it hard for transparency, through trolling at town halls. But they're also involved in ballot harvesting. Let's talk about that a little bit. Some people don't even know what that is.
Yeah, let's define it, okay, Sam? Ballot harvesting is when an individual doesn't have to be present to cast a vote. That's called ballot harvesting. And instead, their vote can be cast by someone else. Now, no surprise here, but Democrats in the legislation have supported this idea. They would like to make this the law across the land, that you do not actually have to be present to vote. So it allows people to go around collecting ballots from all of you. They can simply knock on your door and say, I know that you didn't get to the poll. I know you didn't fill out your ballot. I know it's inconvenient for you. Let me help. If you just give me your ballot, you know, fill it out and I'll turn it in for you. Now, I mean, this is begging the question, what could possibly go wrong? Okay. Obviously, a lot. Okay. You know, ballot harvesting, they've done it. They made a huge impact in recent California elections, which, you know, not surprisingly, California has one-party rule, okay? The tactic in California threw a huge number of House Republican seats to Democrats, and thousands of new and unexpected California voters showed up to certain districts and split seats. So it's a very effective strategy, this ballot harvesting. So these are things that you've got to keep an eye on. AMAC is vigilant, and I'm glad you referenced, because this article is on our website at amac.us. People can read more about these strategies that the Democrats have to regain their power and maintain it for the long term.
And I know they say AMAC is an organization for the elderly, and I think there's some truth to that over 50. And I know that it's a way that people can get together. But AMAC really has become a social hub for solutions in many ways as well, a social hub for solutions at AMAC.us. And this ballot harvesting stuff is flat out, in my opinion, it's pure evil. And what they're doing is they're training people through voting by mail in a variety of other ways to get accustomed to not being present when they're voting also.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. This is a sacred right, you know, of an American, our right to vote. And you choose to participate. We don't need people driving around collecting ballots from people and manipulating the vote. But, you know, these are considered, when you mentioned about who can join AMAC, yeah, you know, we're a 50-plus organization, but anyone can join. You don't have to be age 50. You can still participate and receive our member benefits. You can still, it's still a conservative organization, whether you're 50 or 30. Anyone may join AMAC. It only costs $16, and it covers you and your household, so you and your spouse. So it's relatively inexpensive, but you'll be joining a group of like-minded people. Yeah, some of our benefits are geared toward age 50-plus, like our Medicare insurance that we have, but we also have a whole host of travel discounts and roadside assistance that knows no age in terms of, you know, taking advantage of those member benefits. But we take our marching orders, Sam, from our members. They direct us on what to, you know, on what we talk about here in Washington and the issues that we take to Washington are the issues our members tell us to take to Washington, and we advocate on their behalf.
Now, I mentioned a social hub at AMAC.us, and that's true. A lot of the polls that are there kind of give you some of the direction to know what people, what people's hot buttons are, what people are concerned about, how they feel about certain issues, et cetera. And through that polling is where you get a lot of the guidance, right?
That's exactly right. Now, we do run a poll every week on our website. We blast that poll out to about maybe a million or so of our members that give us their email addresses. Every Saturday, our newsletter goes out, and that's one of the benefits you receive as a as an AMAC member. We constantly talk to our members. We put out a magazine every other month that goes to our members. We receive a lot of feedback on that. We have a full member services representative organization that takes calls from our member. We are in touch with them. And everything we do with regard, as an organization, we do on behalf of our members at their direction.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot there. There's too much to cover in a single day or a single episode of Liberty Roundtable Live, and that's why we have on Andy Manchin with us monthly talking about these issues that matter to Americans who are conservative, Americans who need to know they're not alone, Americans who need a social hub. And there's a headline that Kurt just gave me, and he's got some internet trouble, so he's not able to deliver it himself. That's why I'll do so. It says this: spending time with friends every day may lower dementia risk, new study finds. And this just goes to the example of we need support groups. We need belonging. We need these things. And AMAC is playing an incredible role there, not only for the benefits provided, the social hub provided, the FaceTime that people get when they spend time together with the local chapters and everything else, but in not feeling alone politically, morally, and feeling that there's a hope for God, family, and country, feeling that there's a hope for the way they live their lives on a day-to-day basis, not even political, not left or right or Republican or Democrat, but just the way that they believe traditionally that God, family, and country should be. And so this is providing an incredible network of people. Behind that is the ability to advocate for and to move towards what we believe to be the solutions. Do you want to wrap up comment here on that, Andy?
No, we're just happy to be able to come on shows like yours to get the word out about AMAC. We are experiencing a surge in membership, and we are very grateful for that. You know, we know that nothing happens by coincidence. We would welcome new members, and we just ask your listeners to pick up the phone and call us at 888-262-2006. That's 888-262-2006. It's a free call to join AMAC or go online at amac.us. That's amac.us to learn more about us, and you could sign up online as well. As I mentioned, a one-year membership is only $16, covers your household, and we would be proud to represent you and your interests in Washington should you become a member.
Understand if there's something that you see that AMAC is doing that you may disagree with individually, you're always going to have that happen among conservatives. There's always, you know, 100 issues on the table. There's always a couple that we're, you know, we may not be perfectly on board with. But remember, we're talking about people who believe in liberty, who believe in the First Amendment, who believe in our ability to think and feel and say and what we'd like to. And so in that, there may be differences of opinion on certain things. That's okay, too.
Always. It's always okay. I mean, it's a free-flowing. I mean, that's why we poll our members. We have a poll on right now that has to do with vaccinations, and we've got almost 900, well over 800 comments on that. And we read those comments. It's a forum. It's a forum for a reason. We want to hear feedback, and we want to hear our members' perspective.
Andy, thank you, my friend. Godspeed. We'll chat with you soon.
Thank you, Sam.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job, as always, on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. That's why this is called Liberty Roundtable Live. We're bringing to you the movers and the shakers who are making a difference in all walks of life on an all topics. Liberty Roundtable Live isn't just Sam babbling at the brook, although I do plenty of that, I'm sure. It's about us working together and about bringing great people and organizations to the table, highlighting what they're working on, and finding ways for us to become this incredible community of like-minded Americans that want to protect God, family, and country. And they want to promote the protection of life, liberty, and property. And people who are getting together, educating themselves, and then taking action in positive, peaceful, law-abiding ways to get the job done. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.